This is the Friday, January 22nd, 2021 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Chris Robinson. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Paul.
The V word, volatility. I can remember not that long ago, we would get these social media questions, and people would say, when are the funds going to enter? When is the outside money going to come in? When is all this money from the sidelines? When are the equities going to show up? Last week and the week before, when CNBC, the Wall Street Journal, when these non-agriculture-based organizations start reporting on commodities, that was the sign by many who follow commodities and agriculture to say, uh-oh, the top is in. All of those factors combined leads me to Shane in Bloomfield, Nebraska's question to start us here off of Facebook. Is the high volatility in grains signaling a top or a leg higher?
Well, I've been doing this for 32 years, and typically when you start getting more volatile, it can be a sign of a top. Now, just because it's proved that way in the past doesn't mean it's going to be this way. I'll say this. The grain markets, we all went to sleep for 6 years. We had very narrow trading range, 40-cent trading ranges for a couple years in corn, $1.50 trading range in soybeans. We just had a dollar range today in soybeans in one day. So we haven't seen this type of volatility really since 2012. Maybe a little bit in 17. So it's everybody's got to get used to trading it again. You saw, perfect example, before the report, if you go pull up a five-minute chart, or if you were paying attention before the USDA report, soybeans broke like 30 cents. People thought, oh my God, somebody knows something, right? And then immediately we spun around and all that 30, 40 cents was gone, and then we were off to the races higher. So there's a perfect example. When you start seeing moves like that, where somebody's just like, I have to get in, I have to get out, that can be a signal sort of at the top. Now, it took 3 or 4 days past that report for us to have the follow-through. But in answer to your question, it can be a near-term indication that we've come too far too fast. And you know what I mean? But I think that I would expect on a regular basis for the rest of the year, certainly till we figure out what's going on with weather in South America and weather here. If you go to bed at night, expect to see a 20, 30 cent trading range every night in soybeans and a 10 cent trading range every night in corn.
You say sleeping, because when it does that, I don't think anybody's sleeping very much because they're a little worried about what's happening because things can change so quick. I know that the overnights are not really the overnights, but you get what I'm saying. There's a lot of worry all of a sudden with some people.
Yeah, I think so. And again, if there's something to worry about, I'd rather be worried about corn at north of $5 in the spot month, or north of $4. Then you got to remember where we were 8 months ago. We were at multi-year lows, 10-year lows. People were worried about what happens if corn has a 2 in front
exactly.
of it. What happens if soybeans have a 7 in front of it? So there's always something to worry about in this business. At the end of the day, if you're a farmer producer, your biggest worry now is, did I sell too soon? Right? That's really what it comes down to. And we talked about this earlier in the segment. You know, is it okay to sell beans when we're $5 off the bottom instead of six? I'd say yes, because you can see it only takes 3 or 4 days to have a big correction like this. And, you know, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, if we start to get issues with drought in South America, if we start to get issues with it's too dry to plant here, and people are worried about subsoil moisture in the Great Plains. There you go. There's your bull story, and then we're back to this grinding rally.
All right, so here's a worry. Here's a grind. Todd in South Dakota asked us via Twitter, will the ethanol industry survive with current prices and policy? What happens to all grain prices if we have plant shutdowns and a normal growing season?
We just had 2-3 weeks ago, one of the oldest ethanol plants shut down, right?
Right, because, in Cedar Rapids, yeah.
Right, because the math didn't work. They operate on margins. They don't care if they pay $9 a bushel for corn, if they can make it work. It's all about the margins. It's really not about the price. I will say this. The fact that you've got crude oil back above $52, and people now, just today.
Oh, don't even say the word. Yeah.
Just today, I heard somebody mention the 100 word.
Uh-huh.
How soon do we have $100 barrel oil? I'm like, well, okay, you know what? Around 60, 65, things work out a lot better for the ethanol plants. And maybe the fact that you saw, you know, sometimes you see when somebody completely shuts down or walks away from the business, that can signal a near-term low. So ethanol is not going to go away. With the new administration talking about more green and more getting away from fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera. It opens up the door for potentially better demand. You got to remember this. Ethanol used to take one-third of our corn crop. We grew 15 billion bushels. They took 5 billion bushels. One reason we had such a dump earlier this year was when crude oil fell out of bed, all of a sudden, all these ethanol plants were like, well, it doesn't make any sense. We don't need that. And that was one of the big pushes that pushed us down to, though, when corn went down to $3 in the spot month, it's like, there goes the ethanol demand. So now that it's come back, I would say this. I'd say that if we sustain 50 above dollar oil barrel oil, I think that's going to help the ethanol industry. It's not going to go away.
Sure.
But the question is, are they going to get back to taking 30% of our corn crop? Because that was a natural put for all the corn producers out there. If you know that one-third of the crop's going somewhere, no matter what, that builds the floor for you. So leaning ahead, if we do get some sort of a drought issue, then you're going to have people talking about, well, if they shut down the ethanol plants, maybe that was the sign that we had the bottom.
All right, you mentioned a little political. I need to go back into Eric in Mobile, Iowa, asked us via Twitter this week. He says, we all know in marketing, timing is everything, especially the buy the rumor, sell the facts. So then, how long before the rumor of the Biden administration becomes fact to the marketing world? He's now the president. There's the run-up of what he may do, what he might do. There's what the previous administration did or didn't do. EPA granted 3 waivers. That was a final thing. So how long? Because usually it's the futures, right? So futures have been baking in a Joe Biden presidency for weeks.
Yeah. I think it might already be baked in. The question is, and the other thing we baked in too is, up until 2 weeks ago, we were really kind of set on gridlock. And historically, like I said, I've been doing this for 30 years. Usually the market likes gridlock.
They did.
It really does. Also, too, there have been times in the past where even if the general, we could be in a situation where the general economy doesn't do that well, but the ag economy does well. Like I said, this market's waking up. We're coming out of a 7-year sideways to lower market. We just had a rotation up. The question is that going to extend? So I'm not going to sit here and say, for the next 2, 3, 4 years, don't worry about it. But we have to start somewhere, and it feels like a lot of things have shifted. And the number one thing, I don't care if you're a left-wing, right-wing, libertarian, whatever, you can't fight the law of supply and demand. And if we saw anything, despite the trade war, despite the fact that the dollar was got at the bottom of the pandemic, we were at 18-year highs, the Chinese kept buying because they needed it. You can't fight supply and demand. At the end of the day, supply and demand will always win. And I think the politicians, what they say, it can have impact. Absolutely. I'm not saying it can't. But I think when on the longer term, supply and demand wins. So that's what's driving this market. We haven't had a demand market in a long time. And I think it's going to be an education for a lot of people that haven't traded a demand market.
But this week, the market responded when the designee for Secretary Janet Yellen said, hey, the Biden administration, we're going to keep going tough on China. And the market didn't like that. That's a continuation of what the Trump administration tried to do and got phase one. The market didn't like being tough on China, but it may have actually worked out a little bit.
Well, it sort of looked pretty disappointing up until, when we were at the bottom of the pandemic. Things look pretty bad. A lot of people were very concerned. So it's always darkest before the dawn.
Right.
But, the 2-3 years of the trade war, you go back and look, just pull up a chart of soybeans between 2016 and 2020, that can tell you right there what was going on. And what turned this market, it wasn't because China suddenly, had got a warm fuzzy for the United States. They needed our soybeans.
They needed stuff.
And they need it. If they need it, they will come.
All right. Real quick, these are just yes or no's. Are the bulls done for 21?
No.
Why didn't I sell? No, I don't want to ask that one yet. What's the likelihood of historical levels being met here in January? Have we hit the year's high?
Well, I spent a lot of time looking at charts. I've been doing this a long time. Typically, this January report, if you look back at it and look at a long-term chart, it can set the tone for the next 3 or 4 months. So now we've digested that. Now we're back to trading weather.
And we're back to acreage. That's our final question, Chris. This is Jerry in Audubon, Iowa, on Twitter. Which grain is going to win the acreage battle this spring? He says he's thinking of going all in on oats. He's got a soft spot for the underdog. Well, we talk about cotton, and you heard our guys in the South say, hey, if, I think soybeans is going to pull from cotton. Who's the winner and who's the loser in the intentions report as you sit here tonight in January?
Like I said, I think that, you know, I just saw something the other day where the anticipated plantings are up 4 million acres for both corn and beans already. So right there, people are like, we're going to plant more. I mean, the cure for high prices is high prices. People are going to plant. Now, that's going to be the question. In my experience, farmers like to plant corn. So they may say they're going to plant beans because beans are $12 and corn to this. But usually, I think, given my experience, this is just my personal experience, if a farmer has a choice between planting corn and beans, they plant corn.
Right. All right, Chris. And again, why didn't I sell beans at $14.40?
Because you thought they were going to $18.40.
It's a great question, Imperial. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And that will do it. And thank you for everybody who asked questions via Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram this week. We always love hearing from you. I know we had a lot. We didn't get to them all. Keep asking them. They all get into the mix. Next week, we will look at lessons learned from the most recent hemp harvest, and Sue Martin will be here to break down the commodity markets. I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you so very much for watching, listening, or reading. Have yourselves a great week.